welcome to the Teachers on Fire podcast, where 21st century educators come to share, learn, and be inspired. We believe in the growth mindset, creativity, communication, critical thinking, collaboration, and strategic uses of education technology. Our mission is to share news and views from teachers who are crushing it in the classroom and making a difference for learners everywhere. I'm your host, Tim Cavey. Let's jump into today's episode.
Today, I'm very excited to speak with Adam Miller. Adam is a middle school PE teacher currently working in Saudi Arabia. Adam, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Are you ready to talk education?
I'm ready.
Why don't you start by describing your current teaching or education situation for us?
Currently, I'm in Saudi Arabia. I'm working for Aramco Oil Company and live on the compound of Dhahran. It's a very unique situation, whereas we live in a community or on a compound of 13,000 people, and we teach exclusively to the employees, students, or employees' kids of Aramco. We have currently two schools on the compound. We have elementary from K-4 to grade 4, and that has about 1,200 students in it. And I teach at the middle school, which goes from 5 to 9, and we're at about 1,000 to 1,100 students in our school. It's made up mainly of 60% of students from the Middle East, about 25% from North America, and then you've got about 15% from Asia, South America, Africa, Europe, some in Australia and New Zealand as well. It's been it's a very cool experience as well, very multicultural, and a really exciting group of kids to work with and for. They're very keen and very very excited to get in and work and do what they can to get as much as they can out of the education. I'm currently teaching middle school PE, so I teach grade 5 to grade 9, and I'm also the instructional leader for our department, so just working on PD and doing different things with school and relaying that to our staff and doing a lot of professional development and professional growth within our department, which has been really rewarding and something that our school is really kicked into gear this year, where we're doing a lot of in-house professional learning, which has been really good.
Excellent. Adam, we've all had those low moments, those difficult times and experiences in our career that, you know, may discourage and may get us thinking about leaving the profession. Tell us about a low moment that you've experienced and how you overcame it.
I think it would be probably about 10 years ago where I was teaching elementary physical education at the Singapore American School. And it was the third day of school, back then was the kindergarten's actual first day, so they took the first couple of days off, and they had PE for the first class of the day. So these students had shown up to school, this new huge school. They've never seen anything like it. You know, all of a sudden they're walking into the gates of this 4-story school and in awe and excitement, and they had a 10-minute homeroom, and then they were ushered to PE, and having these little kids just walk into a gym and just have no idea. They don't even know the names of their classmates. They probably don't even know their teacher's name. And we were doing swim unit first, and it shocked us. The teachers, the kindergarten teachers, wanted them to come to swim. They thought it was going to be great instead of maybe spending the first 30 minutes with their teacher. But 10 minutes into their day, they came walking out of the kindergarten area, and my colleague, the swim instructor, and I are standing up at the pool where a story above where they were coming, and you could just see these little kids, and they were completely lost, had no idea where they were going or what was going on, and they had their swim bags on their back. And You know, we're just going, oh man, this is going to be special. And as the kids started walking up, we looked down and our principal was walking behind them with a clipboard. And we looked at each other and we're like, what's David doing? Is he coming to evaluate us? Sure enough, he was coming to evaluate us, and or one of us. And we were just like, how is this going to work? So we got the kids in, and Dave came in, and he just kind of looked and nodded and gave a smile, and we shook our heads a little bit, and we got the kids out and over to the pool and got them in, and pretty much as soon as some feet touched the water, we found out three of the kids not only couldn't swim, but were afraid of water and couldn't even touch the ground in the small pool and keep their heads above water. Kids are everywhere, and there's 20 of them, and we're looking at each other. And at one point, I've got these three kids in my arms, and thank God I'm 6'8", and I've got these big hooks around them, and they're kind of floating there on me, and they're grabbing on for dear life. And I look over at Jim, the swim instructor, and he's going, oh man. So I'm like, dude, you take the kids who can swim, and I'll take these three kids, and I'll see what we can do. And all of a sudden, the classroom aide is up, and she's trying to help, and she's trying to get kids going. And all of a sudden, the clipboard's down, and my principal, he's like, he's not messing around. His jacket's off, and now he's grabbing kids, and he's putting them in places, and we're just trying as much as we could to get this going, and I'm motorboating these kids around, and David's got he's getting splashed all over the place, and his suit's all wet, and the IA almost fell in the pool. And about 15 minutes later of this, we're just, you know, going at it, and I peeled these kids off me, and I had like bite marks and scratch marks, and they were super happy at the end of it that they got to kind of move around and me just holding them. But oh my gosh, it was just this crazy. It was just intense. And then the real rodeo started, because we have to get these kids changed afterwards. So there's our principal, and he's trying to put underwear on kids, and we've got kids putting underwear on heads, and it was just this. It was just ridiculous, and just trying to get that going, and then trying to get shoes on, and just thanking God that someone invented Velcro and tying up laces. And at the end of the 30-minute lesson, just everyone just went out. And our principal, he busted out real quick, and it was insane how fast and crazy. When it was finished, we just, swim instructor and I looked at each other, and we just were like, "What was that? Why did he choose to come and evaluate us?" And we never ended up getting talked to him for about another couple of weeks. Finally, I saw him, and I said to the principal, I was like, "David, what? Well, honestly, what were you thinking?" And he's like, "My God, that was just the dumbest thing I could have ever done." He's like, "Why would have I come in on that day?" And I was like, "But well, what did you get?" He's like, "You guys are amazing. Like, how do you do that day in and day out?" And I was like, "Well, you know, the first day, a little crazy, but yeah, that's pretty much a kindergarten swim day." And it was pretty intense and pretty crazy, and we were just pretty happy that both of us stayed calm during the whole thing, and just collected. We relied on each other and each other's strengths, and the good part was we sat there and we actually could reflect on, you know, what happens when we don't have kids who can touch the ground and are, you know, not really swimmers. And it had been something that had never happened before. And so we started getting these boxes and crates and putting them in the water so kids could stand up. And so it was a crazy situation, but we were really lucky to rely on each other and also be able to kind of reflect on it and end up making the program a little bit better, and making sure that in the future any kid who just couldn't get their head above the water had things to stand on and work it that way. But still something that the swim teacher and I talk about to this day when we chit chat about things.
Yeah, I bet. And that's definitely a first for me, hearing about a swim day or a swim lesson happening within 10 or 20 minutes of kindergartners arriving at school for their very first day. That is amazing and sounds like a lot of kind of a fun memory right now, but I'm sure very difficult in the moment. And I like how you talked about relying on each other's strengths to get you through that experience. Adam, what is it that excites you about education today? What is it that is igniting your passion as you serve over in Saudi Arabia?
Right now, I think one of the biggest things that I really enjoy, and if I'm bringing it in back into a physical education realm, I love the life lessons and the values and the character building that my students and our students in PE just learn every single day they walk into the gym and with all the games and activities that they play. I think a lot of times people lose the fact that PE isn't about just getting them out and running and keeping them active and just having them play sports. There's so much more that goes along with PE, and it just the things that these students can learn from games and working with each other is something that I love, just imparting that to the students and making sure that these lessons are learned during games and through games and after, and spending the time during activities to be able to stop and talk about what it is that made us successful, or what did we learn, or how did this mistake help us, you know, improve. And that's been something that I really, really enjoy. I love getting that, especially with the younger kids and helping them grow as they go along. And that's been something special for me. Just helping them, you know, how do they communicate, you know, show integrity and their sportsmanship and how to get along with people and respect teammates and work as a team, and just the commitment and perseverance and grit to get through adversity and just to deal with mistakes and even just grow empathy as games go along. And these are ones that I just think are so important for them and to take these lessons and use them in the classroom and at home and going to the park and hanging out with their friends. You know, these things are going to serve them well for their life when they graduate, go into future jobs. You know, and I love that these can all be taught within sport and games and activities that we do in the PE realm. That's been something that I really get excited about every day when I go in and work with the kids. Even today, just some lessons, we had some great talks just about what it is that it means to work well with people and be respectful and be able to, you know, communicate well with people and respectfully. So that's been really fun. I do have a favorite game, and I love teaching. It's the first thing that I do at the start of the year, and I do this game three times during the year, and what it kickstarts the year, and it just gives all these kids these great values and lessons just right at the start, and things that we can always go back and reflect on so that we're talking about it throughout the year. And the game's called Mission Impossible. And essentially, it's kind of like cross the river. So the students, there's a group of students, and they have to cross the gym without touching the floor because the floor is hot lava. And they got to do this while going over or under obstacles. And they have equipment to help them get across. And all this equipment has certain qualities. So some of it you can stand on, some of it you can move, some of it might be a scooter or a mat. So all these different things for them to get, or to help them get across the gym and maneuver over and under these things. And then the big thing is if anyone or any student touches the ground or knocks over one of these obstacles, then the entire group have to go back to the beginning and to the other side of the gym and begin all over again. So it just starts teaching. And my big one is just talking about mistakes, and we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to learn from these mistakes. And they're actually going to they're going to make us smarter. They're going to help us get better, and it just sets the tone for the year. And trying to, you know, let the students understand that mistakes are good. Like they're really going to help you, and especially in a PE aspect where you're going to miss shots, you're going to miss saves, you're gonna miss a tag, you know. So it's just learning that that's just gonna be okay. And then the great part is that, you know, I always talk to the students and say, you're gonna make one mistake and two mistakes and probably about 10 or 12 or 15 as a team. You might not even complete this task, but a lot of it's about the perseverance and the communication and pushing yourselves and talking properly to your team. And how do you deal with the person who makes a mistake? And how does this, you know, how does this make you feel if you were to be, you know, called out or made to feel bad? So it sets the tone so well for the year, and it's awesome to revisit halfway through the year. And as the game progresses the second and third time, I add more things and make it harder and harder and challenge the students, and they just love it. If every day it's like, are we going to play Mission Impossible? And it's like, no, not every single day. That's been something, and just the great talks and the amazing problem solving these students come up with during this game. Like, and I've played it for, I think, 10 years now. And every time a class plays it, some kid's coming up with something new I've never seen. I'm like, that is just brilliant. Just the creativity these kids are coming up with. And it's just so much fun. I love that. That game excites me. I just get riled up, and the kids love it, and just the lessons that we learn from that, it's really cool. And I learn every time we play the game as well.
Well, that's awesome, and clearly you are not just a fun PE teacher, but you are an educator with a firm and clear focus on character development as well. I really like that. Adam, outside of education, what's another area of passion and learning for you? Tell us what interests you about this and why you enjoy it.
This is kind of born out of necessity, in a sense, living here in Saudi Arabia, but I kind of really got into the hobby and passion of brewing beer. And it's been kind of a labor of love. Like, we have a pretty large community here, but as probably many people know, you're not allowed to buy alcohol in Saudi Arabia. So many of us kind of go out of our way to make it sometimes. I love a good beer. I love a good craft beer, and nothing better than sitting out on the patio and having a nice cold one. And it's awesome. I love making a real damn good beer. Like, it's right. So much fun. And especially when you spend so much time you're making and crafting, and you're kind of coming up with these recipes, and you're thinking about what it is, and you put it in the keg and it comes out, and you're just like, wow, that was worth it. It really feels satisfying when you make that nice tasty drink. And it's really cool. There's a lot of science that goes on into it, and it's something that I'm still working with and just getting a lot of that in there, but it's been a lot of fun doing. And we have a bunch of teachers that we get together and talk about what we're doing and how we're making it, and how we're getting ingredients in and what ingredients we can use from around here to make this. And it's awesome having those guys or girls come on over and just taste the beer, and they're just like, wow, this is really, really good. So that's been kind of a passion I've had for the past little while. And I think one of my favorite things is actually kind of naming the beer and just giving them kind of kitschy names and kind of catchy things. And those ones have been good. And they usually revolve around either the ingredients or the type of beer. And so that's been a lot of fun. So So I've brewed a couple in the past. I've brewed, took a Pilsen Ibiza in homage to the song. And another beer was called Gord's Gold Wheat King Beer. And that was, I brewed that one just after Gord Downie passed away. So that was a little bit of a remembrance to him. And I made one called an El Kaboom Cerveza, which is a little bit of a play on words with my best friend's name back home. And last, another good one was Polygamy Pale Ale. So you bet you couldn't have just one. So some of them I just enjoy. People come over to happy hours at the house, and it's nice to enjoy a beer, and it's even better to get a kick out of the name. So that's been fun, and my kids have even gotten to it of giving them some of the naming rights, and they've come up with some pretty funny ones. So we currently now have Cider and a Spider on tap, and Beer Good for Your Health, which is, you know, perfect, or at least I'd like to think that.
Well, that's a great hobby, Adam, and I can tell you're passionate about it. I'm sure there with the hot Saudi Arabia days and nights, a welcome cold one is a pretty popular visit there in the community, and you'd better watch out or this might become a full-time activity at some point.
Yeah, you never know. Might come move back to BC and start a microbrewery or a little craft brewery. That would be that would definitely be a personal cool thing, personal goal to do in the future.
Awesome. Adam, share with us about a personal habit that contributes to your success.
I think one of the big ones, and with my life and with my wife, who is a teacher as well, just with our crazy lifestyle, just we're gone at 7 in the morning. We got to be at work at 7. We come home at 4. We're coaching different teams. The days are just chock full. We've got 3 kids. We get home from school. We get them going, and now we're out to gymnastics or soccer or swimming, and we take our kids to Bahrain, to another country, for swim lessons. Like, life is busy as. So I think one of the biggest things that we do, and one of the things that definitely keep us going and helps us give us the energy and kind of the calm to get through the days and the weeks, is we just stay in shape, and we try to eat as healthy as we can. And that's probably one of our biggest personal habits. We take it pretty keenly, which is great. So we, my wife and I try to get out at least 3 to 4 times a week to CrossFit here. And we've got a little box, and, we tend to call it date night. So it's nice. The two of us get out, and we have our hour and 15-minute class, and we have a great time, and really it gets our bodies moving and our muscles working, and we just can completely zone out, and all the day is gone, and we're just focused on getting through the workout of the day, and it just feels so good at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
That just
mm-hmm.
gives us the energy to get through the day, and especially being a PE teacher, I need to be able to move and jump and demonstrate all this stuff with the kids, and my wife's a counselor, and same, she just, the things she goes through and she hears all day, she just needs that total checkout time, and being able to, you know, just concentrate on hammering out whatever it is that we have to during our workouts. And if we're not at CrossFit, we're here in the house, and we've got our rowing erg, and we've got our exercise stuff in our garage, just constantly trying to stay in shape, and then the eating healthy definitely goes along with it, just, you know, feeding our body and making sure that we're eating proper and giving ourselves the fuel to get through that day, and making sure the body functions just top quality, so the days fly and we can fly with it. So that's definitely our personal habit that we definitely contributes to our success in getting through the weeks.
Fantastic. Moving into some rapid fire recommendations, Adam, tell us about one education leader that we should be following on Twitter and explain why.
I've got a great one. He's my old principal from Singapore American School, and he's now the head of the International Community School in Addis Ababa, and the school where my wife and I are moving to next year, actually. And his name is Tim Stewart, Dr. Tim Stewart. Amazing guy. If you want to follow anything on leadership and school transformation and innovative schools, Tim is fantastic. He's a world leader right now, and he's a leader in PLCs and international schools. He's just finishing up his second book on international school PLCs. And he's also an author and presenter with Solution Tree, and he's just co-founded a website called 8degreesup.com, and all, again, on leading schools into the 21st century through PLCs and just doing great things. He posts amazing articles, or reposts excellent articles, to read about leadership and the rethinking of schools. And I highly recommend him and any of his followers or the people that he's reposting about. But every day he's got something good on there, and it's really fun to read.
All right. So Tim Stewart, we will add him to the show notes. Point us to an ed tech tool that you currently love using in your classroom. Now, you're in the PE context, obviously, but is there something sort of in the ed tech realm that applies to your practice that really helps make your day go a little easier, or maybe makes your instruction a little more effective?
Yeah, I really like an app called BAM, BAM Video Delay. And essentially what it is that you set up your iPad, put it on a tripod, and point it towards where students are doing a skill. Skill can be anything. It could be shooting baskets. It could be doing squats or push-ups, or it could be any part of a game that maybe they want to watch. And you can set the delay for anywhere from 1 second to a minute. And what happens is the students do their skill or whatever that they're doing. So if, let's say they're shooting a jump shot. So they shoot their jump shot. I've set the delay for 10 to 15 seconds. They're going to go get the ball, and they can come to the other side of the iPad and watch the screen. And the video is actually delaying for 10 seconds. So as they come around, they're probably at about 8 seconds now. So they're just about ready to watch themselves shoot the basket. And this continually loops. So they get to sit there, watch themselves, and they get this instant feedback. And the cool thing is you can tell students what they're doing, and half the time they're like, no, I'm doing it correct. But then when they see themselves, they're like, I had no idea what I looked like. So now they're getting this instant feedback, and then they can go back into the line and make corrections right away. So they're getting this incredibly instantaneous feedback where they can then correct and move into the line and continue to do that. And then they get to see their next shot and see, hey, wow, I did move my elbow, or I used my legs this time, or I flicked my wrist. Like, wow, that makes a big difference. And then I've also used it with peers. Can be one person shoots and someone's there, and they're going to help them talk through the shot so that they can help and discuss. And now there's two people who are actually learning a little bit more and talking about the skills. Maybe sometimes students have a little bit of a hard time doing a skill, but hey, if they have the knowledge of how it's to be done, then that's brilliant right there. So that's a great one, and it works for anything in life as well. If you're doing anything physical and you need to see whatever it is, I use it quite a bit when we work out and we do technical moves, deadlifts or squat cleans or anything where there's heavy weight and lots of movement. It just helps me. I can do a movement and then go see and go, that one was not good. So I use this quite a bit as well. And it's been really, really good. The kids love it. They enjoy it. And the feedback that they get and the assessment for learning really is brilliant with just one simple app.
That is exceptional. You know, I wasn't sure if you'd be able to name something that you apply in the gymnasium, but you're right. That's a fantastic self-assessment, maybe some peer assessment happening there, tool. And that's really exciting to hear. Adam, recommend one book that you've been reading lately, or maybe one of your all-time faves, and explain why you recommend it.
One I read not too long ago that I've liked and I've recommended to quite a few people is called Legacy, and it's by James Kerr, and he goes deep into the heart of the world's most successful sporting team, so that he goes right into the All Blacks. The New Zealand rugby team. And he discusses a lot about what's made them successful and how they went from a 75% winning percentage, which is phenomenal in its own right, and pushed themselves all the way to an 86% winning percentage. And he reveals 15, you know, really powerful and practical lessons for leadership and business that the All Blacks have adopted, and it's talking about leadership and business, but it's something that can be easily paralleled right into teaching, and it really speaks to a lot of things that we do as educators, and you know how this amazing organization, who pretty much were at the top of the world, said, "Hey, we're at the top, but that's not good enough. How can we be better? How can we continue to innovate? And how can we continue to push our boundaries? And how can we make sure that we're always pushing our players as well to become better?" And there's just some really cool parts in it, and lots of really good pieces where you can look at it and go, "Oh man, that just totally, I get it." Like, working with my department, like, that is something I've got to take into account, and I've got to push ourselves. And I think we're doing great, but how are we going to do much better? You know, and it talks about, you know, what will you leave behind, you know,
right,
after you're gone, and what will be your legacy? So it's a highly recommended book, really easy read, and some really good stories from some former All Blacks and the coaches that are there now, and how they went about reinventing what was already incredible.
Absolutely. I mean, that you're just articulating the growth mindset, and that sounds like a fantastic read, obviously applicable in the PE space, but it sounds like across really any walk of life. Adam, share with us a YouTube channel that you enjoy or one that you find helpful. We're all trying to build some quality YouTube subscriptions. So which one is it that you would recommend we add to our list?
This one would definitely be another PE-specific one. But this one is called Phys Ed Games. And this one guy has taken it upon himself to generate computer diagrams and talk through all these games, and anytime you need any type of physical education game, you go on there, and this guy's done an amazing job. You can find some amazing games, really, really informative, and he gets to the point, and it's real simple. In 2 minutes, you've learned a game, and he goes through it, and it's been a great help with me in just doing classes or doing different types of game units, and I love it. And there's a lot there too for teachers who want to do something with their class, and it doesn't have to just be a PE teacher. There's some great games that teachers could take their kids outside and use, or even do some things inside the classroom if they just wanted them to get up and move and get going, just get their brains in gear.
Well, that sounds very helpful for PE teachers, and you know what? I've got a couple of young guys at home that might be helpful for me too. Adam, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us and so many well-thought, well-considered insights. What is the best way for people to follow you and get to know you a little bit better?
I am on Twitter. I'm at Miller Adam L. I'm unfortunately pretty weak at my Twittering, but I usually use it more for my readings and doing a lot of research and kind of enjoying what other people have put out there. But it's something that I'm trying to strive to start getting a lot better at, is putting some things on and start getting myself out there a little bit more. And I am on Instagram as well, and that's probably a little bit more personal, but I think, again, start to get a little bit more educational with that as well, and that's ALMiller50 for the Instagram, and those are the two main ways to follow me.
Well, that is very accessible. Both of those are great platforms to sort of stay connected with other educators, and so I really appreciate that. Look forward to hearing more from you. And Adam, the school year's starting to wind down here. Enjoy the rest of it, and thanks again for doing this.
I will. Thanks very much. It's been an awesome time talking. Really enjoyed being on this with you, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to chat. It's been a blast.
All right. Take care, Adam. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Teachers on Fire, where teachers come to share, learn, and be inspired. Please subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on Twitter at Teachers on Fire. I'm your host, Tim Cavey, saying goodbye for now, and we'll catch you next time right here on the Teachers on Fire podcast.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.